Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's program, we'll be talking about the American Printing House for the Blind and some of their development activities.
We'll introduce Larry Skutkan, and he'll talk to us about some of their current and future products. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, get your sighted friends jealous with a library in your pocket.
Boy, I've been pretty lucky, actually, when you talk about libraries in your pocket. I remember when we used to go on vacation years ago, and I would take a whole bunch of cassette books and fill up the suitcase and, you know, a couple of books just in case one broke or a tape was bad and I wanted to read another book. And Nancy would be able to take, you know, just a couple of paperback books and stick them in the suitcase. And then the original Bookport came around and suddenly I could keep a whole library of books on this little handheld device. Of course, now I'm using the Bookport Plus from the American Printing House for the Blind, which we'll hear a little bit about later.
Right, so I got to feeling guilty about all the space I was taking up with my two or three paperbacks. And finally, I went out and got a Nook Color from Barnes & Noble. And if you're just low vision instead of totally blind, that's a great device for somebody with low vision. And we talked about that in show 1149.
So the funny thing is, generally, the blind in terms of technology are a little bit behind. Some device will come out for the sighted folks, some new high-tech device, and they'll be using it, and it's not accessible to the visually impaired. In this case, however, with the advent of the Bookport, we were actually ahead of the curve on this technology trend.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, we were lucky for a change. So I really enjoy my Bookport, and I use it all the time, and you know, as I said, I can carry around dozens of books and in addition, audio things and documents and all kinds of material.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Larry Skutkan.
My name is Larry Skutkan. I'm a software engineer at the American Printing House for the Blind in the research department. I've been here several years. I quit in the middle and had my own software business for a while and wrote a DOS screen reader, ASAP, in a Windows one several years ago, and have come back here to head up the technology section of the research department. It's really quite exhilarating. As far as my personal life, I've been totally blind since I was 21, well over half my life, and I have four daughters and five granddaughters spread out among a few states. I use a guide dog. My number five dog is Jake here. He's probably going to retire this year, and I really enjoy the fun aspects of a new dog, but it's so nice when, I don't know if you've ever used one, Pete, but after a few years, you become second nature to each other, and it's hard to start all over again. As far as hobbies go, I like to, I do gardening and reading, a lot of walking, and the computer really is my hobby, too. You know, I always say I feel really, really lucky that I have a job that I actually look forward to going into every day. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I can't wait to get to work and get da-da-da-da done. So that's the brief synopsis of Larry Skutkan.
Well, I must admit, I have never used a guide dog. I've always used a cane to get around. But it has to be difficult to leave your guide dog when it's, you know, at the end of its service or something happens, and that's got to be a tough transition. Like Larry, though, I must say, he said how much he enjoyed his job, and Nancy and I both feel really fortunate the time we spent at Xerox in their research department. We really had fun jobs also, and it was a pleasure to come into work, to work with the people, work on fun projects, that you not only enjoyed working on, but enjoyed the people and the teams you were working with. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. If you can have a job that you enjoy, it's really not a job. It's almost like playing.
On the other hand, if we hadn't retired from our jobs, we would have never gotten involved in Viewpoints. And this is also very gratifying, but in a very different way from the actual paid jobs that we used to have at Xerox.
There are different ways of enjoying yourself, and this is just another.
That's for sure. So getting back to Larry, we asked him about the cause of his visual impairment. I'm curious, you said you went blind in your early 20s. Was that like a sudden thing as a result of an accident or a disease or what?
Detached retina in both eyes, my left eye when I was 16 and my right eye when I was 21. And they reattached it once, and it lasted about 6 months or so, and then came back off again. And, I really believe if that had happened here in the last decade or so, I'd probably be fine. The technology has really advanced that much since the late 70s. But, in many ways, I look at this blessing of blindness as a way to enhance my spirit, and hopefully I can do some good things for people, and it's oddly enough, it's made me a better person in many ways.
again, I can resonate with Larry here a bit. When I was born in the early 50s, I was born with congenital glaucoma, and it wasn't generally recognized that kids could have that disease when they were born. This was generally thought of as an older person's disease. But again, these days, that's more well-known, and there are easier and better treatments for it. And, if I was born a few decades later, probably I would have normal eyesight now also.
One hobby Larry neglected to mention is bowling. In fact, when we tried to schedule this interview, we had to schedule it around his bowling night.
I joined a bowling league here in Louisville, a blind bowling league. We're called the 16 Funmakers. And this has been about a decade ago. I've actually been the president of that league for many years now. Each team has a sighted spotter, we call them. And that's the person that when you roll the ball, they'll tell you, oh, you left pins 4, 5, and 10. Or in my case, they'll usually say, you left pins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But what you do is set up an aluminum rail that runs parallel to the gutter. In fact, it's usually lined up right at the end of the gutter. And you use that to guide yourself so that you have some kind of a reference point. And just use the regular rules of bowling. Make your approach, let the ball go, and if you've got that spotter letting you know which pins are left, and of course you know the position of the pins, or you should. You wouldn't think bowling is very good exercise, but you sure know it, especially at the beginning of the season after you've bowled three games. You can feel it all over your body, and it's good mental and physical exercise both. Really recommend it.
You don't generally think of bowling as an activity that visually impaired people would engage in, but actually it's reasonably popular. When I was a kid around 8 or 10 years old, I used to go to the Lighthouse in New York City, and they actually had all of us bowling back then. And even if you go to a commercial bowling alley these days, if you ask them, they often have one of these rails that they can set up for you so you can bowl along with other people. And as Larry says, it's not only good exercise, but it's a great social outlet.
And there's even, of course, a national organization for blind bowlers called the American Blind Bowling Association. And if you're interested, you can look them up on the web at www.ABBA1951.org.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is the American Printing House for the Blind, and in particular, its Bookport Plus product. If you're interested in more information about the American Printing House for the Blind, you can find them at www.aph.org for American Printing House. Here's Larry giving an overview of some of their current and projected products.
We write utilities, tutorials, and tools that aren't generally available anywhere else. One of our most popular programs is called Talking Typer. And now, you know, there are a few talking, typing, tutor type programs out there. But back in 98, when we wrote this, there weren't any for Windows. So, and now, you know, I think we see a pretty good opportunity to do something like that for the Mac. What we try to do at APH is to focus on tools and applications that aren't commercially available. We've developed some pretty interesting tools that you can see there at tech.aph.org. I think a lot of people really enjoy the Money Talks program, which is a checking book management package for Windows, and that's another one we'd love to do on the Mac. Studio Recorder, an audio editing program that we actually use here at APH. We had originally written it for our studio here to record the digital talking books for NLS. But it turns out to be such a nice, simple, and clean editor and easy to use with speech or braille that it's become a pretty popular program as well. Our department here does a lot of support for other project leaders in the research department and actually all throughout APH. There's the research department is broken up into several specialities, you know, like there's a braille project leader, low vision, a tactile graphics. And each of those, I think there's seven or eight of them like that. And each of those project leaders, you know, has more and more their products are becoming technology based. So we're getting continually more work all the time. And I like to really pride our department here because we've got some really innovative thinkers. One of the things, in fact, we wrote a couple of years ago is for one of the other project leaders is called Early Braille Trade Books. It's a software package. It's web-based. That it was really designed for teachers of the visually impaired and specifically Braille teachers. So it allows the teacher to mark which contractions a student knows, and then it can recommend lists of books that contain only those contractions.
So as Larry says, the American Printing House development team is a very good team of developers. They come up with some quite innovative ideas, pretty robust. They're very responsive to user input, and they were the creators of some of these innovative products like the Bookport, Bookport Plus, and things like that. What they did with some of those products was leverage off some hardware that some other manufacturer was making and then put in custom code to do the special things that the American Printing House for the Blind customers would particularly enjoy or find good to use.
Well, and the other thing, like Pete said, is often the technology for the visually impaired follows behind by some amount of time the technology for the sighted world. And a lot of what they do at the APH is they'll get a product out there for the visually impaired. So, for example, the talking typing tutor, way before something like that is available commercially. Now, of course, when the commercial product comes out, now they've got some competition, but hey, you know, it's reaching a bigger market.
Well, and also they don't drop support for the things they have developed, like the typing tutor, even though there are commercial things that may do similar things. But often their programs are a little bit more accessible to the visually impaired in terms of what the layout is, how it functions, keyboard navigation, shortcuts, and things like that.
So Larry went by this kind of quickly, that they have demonstrations of a lot of their software available online. And this web address is a little bit different. It does not start with www. Oftentimes that's kind of optional, but in this case you really want to omit the www. The demonstrations of their software are at tech.aph.org, and that's just tech.aph.org. So, of course, you know, one of Pete's favorite APH products is the Bookport, and now the Bookport Plus, and they're planning a new edition coming out soon, hopefully. So we asked what new features are planned for that.
I actually don't think we're going to see a firmware release for Bookport till about June or so. I can talk about some of the things that we hope to get in there. Of course, there's no guarantee that we're going to make that. I think one of the most important things that we will be adding to the Bookport Plus and all of our digital talking book reading technology is direct support for MathML, which is a math markup language that it should be in all books, but many of the publishers are beginning to include that in their electronic books that have mathematical expressions in them. And it provides you a way to get an accurate reading of that expression.
So that would be a great addition to the Bookport. As you know, it's difficult to read mathematical expressions, particularly if they're not marked up properly. But hopefully more publishers and online sources will start incorporating MathML into their text, and that makes it easier to navigate by expressions, sub-expressions, and parts of mathematical expressions.
Well, and besides, I would assume you'd get more accurate renditions of all of the equations that way?
Oh, right. That's exactly what it's for, right, to make it easier to navigate through it in a logical fashion.
So, of course, there are many other features planned for the upcoming release of the Bookport Plus.
Some of the other things that we'll be adding to the Bookport is the ability to search your text files. Probably we'll start out initially with one just to search in the current file, because I'm sure you're aware the Bookport Plus contains what we call thumb braille, so it's pretty easy to type on it, sort of using a telephone keypad to represent a braille cell, just pressing the appropriate buttons that correspond with the braille dots. So you can actually already type notes into it and sort of treat it as like a pencil that you always have around with you to jot quick things down with. But that'll make, having that ability to type fairly easily in there makes it pretty easy to enter your search terms. One of the other features that a lot of people have requested is a way to not flatten out the directory structure as we're doing now. And, there's a lot of philosophy on both sides of this issue about, how to represent files. And I think originally when we did this firmware, we were thinking, to appeal to the most people and to make it the least confusing, it probably would be good to just make it so you could get through every title on the device with the left and right arrows, all in one flat structure. But that turned out to be a bad assumption. It's good for some people, but there's a lot of more advanced users that have directory structures that are two or three or four deep and have their material highly organized by author or artist in the case of music. And it just makes sense. And it's something we really should have done a long time ago. It's just that, you can only throw so many resources at a thing at a time.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that last feature Larry talked about, the new folder navigation structure that they hope to put in the next release of the firmware. As people are more familiar with computers and folder structures and things like that, I think it'll be a little bit easier to navigate and find the things that you want to find and organize your material the way you'd like to organize it, especially since the Bookport Plus can use up to a 32 gigabyte flash drive. You can put a lot of information on there, so you really want to organize things in a sensible fashion. Larry also talked about the thumb braille. This was another one of the very innovative things that the American Printing House for the Blind came up with. This is a way of using the keyboard to directly input braille, and you just push the keys in sort of like you would on a braille writing device to input text.
Well, you have to turn the Bookport Plus sideways for that, right?
There's a couple of different orientations depending on the type of thumb braille that you'd like to use, as a matter of fact. One is by using the six dots as you would on a braille writer, and the other method is actually using inputting characters, well, not thumb braille, but you can input characters like you would on a cell phone. So by hitting the 1, 2, or 3 key several times in a row to get the letter you want. So this will provide a mechanism not only for enabling search capabilities in text files, as Larry talked about, but it also makes it possible to use the Bookport Plus as a note taker.
Well, and the ability to search is going to be really handy.
The original Bookport actually had that facility, and I used it quite a bit in my Bookshare and other text files to look for, you know, when was the first time I saw this character in the book announced? And that way you get to know who they were, and you could search for other content in the book easily that way and do a really quick perusal of the book.
So one other feature the APH is hoping to include is support for DAISY Online. Now, they're not really promising that this will get out in the next firmware release, but they're really hoping it will, and it sounds like a very, very powerful tool.
DAISY Online is a system for delivering DAISY content over the internet, and since the Bookport Plus has a Wi-Fi chip into it. It's really a natural evolution of the device. We had really intended to put this in here from the very beginning. Again, the problem is that there are no organizations in the United States currently using DAISY Online to serve their content. So one of the things we've had to do is build a DAISY Online server. And I don't know if you all are aware of it or not, but your readers, just as a side note, might be interested in the fact that we distribute Reader's Digest and Newsweek in digital talking book format for free. Current plans are that we'll continue to distribute them on our website, but you'll also be able to subscribe to them right on your device and get them delivered to you that way. And we kind of, you know, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say, well, you're going to build a whole DAISY Online server just for two magazines. But we actually have quite a bit of other content in terms of product documentation and curricula. But what we really hope is that we'll be able to aggregate some other content into this server as well. And what we all hope someday is that NLS and Bookshare will eventually begin distributing via DAISY Online as well. And when they do, you know, we're ready to help them out in any way we can, or even, you know, aggregate their content to our DAISY Online server. With its initial release, it probably is going to be of limited functionality, but I think within a year or two, you'll probably see a lot more organizations distributing their content that way, hopefully all of them.
Well, that would be really nice to see. It sounds like they're really looking far into the future here. It'd be nice to see some other organizations implementing this DAISY Online type of format and way of aggregating documents. Especially Bookshare and NLS. Right now, the way I have to put those books on my Bookport Plus are to go to each website, search for the file I want or the book I want, and then download them onto my computer and then transfer them to the Bookport. It's not such a big process, but considering, as Larry said, the Bookport has a Wi-Fi capability in there, it would be really nice to be able to directly link to these services and immediately be able to put these books on your Bookport Plus without having to go through the intermediary of the computer.
And then the other feature you've been hoping to find is support for WMA format books.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people have talked about that. So through the public library system and OverDrive, many people can download ebooks and MP3 and WMA files and stuff like that. If you have an ordinary player, it'll often play these files. Unfortunately, a lot of that material, the audio format, is a protected WMA, and right now the Bookport Plus doesn't play the protected WMA formats. So I talked to Larry a bit about that because I know people have brought it up many times on their distribution list. And I think the issue is really that the licensing costs to put that capability on these units is just prohibitively expensive. And APH doesn't sell nearly as many Bookport Pluses as Sansa or Apple might sell their devices. And so then the cost per unit for these licenses winds up being very high. And so I guess Larry doesn't expect that a protected WMA capability will be put into the Bookport in the foreseeable future.
But boy, what a lot of really exciting new features they're planning on putting into this thing. I can't wait to see how happy Pete is when he gets the new update.
Yeah, every new firmware release brings some new and exciting stuff. And this one, if you can wait until sometime this summer, looks like it'd be exciting also.
Now for this week's high-tech item. The American Printing House for the Blind is planning a Braille Plus 18 second generation. It's currently in development.
One of the projects that we're working on right now is called Braille Plus 18 second generation, which is I'm not going to call it a note taker. One way to describe it would be to say that if you had an Android based smartphone or smart tablet and added a Braille display and a Braille keyboard right to it, and then added some specialized software, that would be what the Braille Plus 18 is. The Braille Plus 18 is probably the biggest project we've ever done. It's unimaginable how difficult and how many things are involved in actually designing essentially, you know, like I said, a smartphone with a Braille keyboard and display. And then, you know, especially given the fact that Android doesn't have the first concept of Braille at all. So we really had to write a whole Braille subsystem for it. And then, you know, of course, we wrote a lot of applications that go on it too, you know, like a GPS application, OCR application for the device, and word processing, digital talking book reader.
Now that really sounds great to have some of those capabilities and customized applications so they're very easy to use by the visually impaired.
So if you missed any of the links we've given above, they're all in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show number 1206. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about the Blind Post. The Blind Post is a great way to find or sell items specifically useful to the visually impaired. Both the website and newsletter contain classified ads, announcements, articles, and tips from the food lady. We'll interview Lori Motis, who maintains the Blind Post, and get tips about accessible web hosting and bulk email tools. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to viewpoints@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, produced by Peter Torpey and Nancy Goodman Torpey in collaboration with WXXI Reach Out Radio. To subscribe to the podcast, access a full archive of shows and show notes, or to find out more, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.